KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, but it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Jason, of course.
That is right. We are here to provide you with a solid geek injection.
Yeah, I'd probably phrase that a little differently. But...
No, it's good. It's good. It'll work.
But yes, definitely solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Just roll with it. It'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll work.
I'm rolling.
Woo. All right. We are minus Caleb this week, but he is out at a concert, I believe, and he will be back next week to talk all about it. So we look forward to hearing about said concert. Yeah.
He's switching the feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and dancing, too.
Is he?
I hope so.
I hope somebody's getting footage of that.
I know. Elaine better be getting the footage to throw up on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams and the social medias of media.
I'm disappointed in advance that they're probably not going to do that. But.
Yeah. Oh, well, we can dream.
It's true.
But speaking of things, you know, that you don't have to dream about, we're going to have a lovely sort of kickback show tonight. You know, we're going to give you the news, of course, like we always do. And we're going to have the geek talk. I'm going to go over Extra Life. I participated in that Saturday. Talk about how it went and all that jazz. And
looked like you were having fun with that.
Yeah. it was good. I'll get into more of that later on. And Jason's fixation. Jason picked up Call of Duty Ghosts, so he's going to go crazy talking about that. I'm going to ask him questions and go into detail and all that sort of stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Just stick around for that. And if we have time, I got some lists that maybe we'll do, or we might just end it on video games. Who knows? But
because we can talk about video games. We're pretty good at that.
Yeah, we're pretty good at the time of wasting with video games.
We have the skills.
Yes. And speaking of video games, happy N7 Day to everyone out there.
Yes.
If you're unfamiliar with what that is, it's related to Mass Effect.
Ready your shots. Yeah. Right now.
Related to Mass Effect, a video game we talk about from time to time on
right.
the show.
We've been missing it every once in a while lately.
Yeah.
But we still try and mention it at least once per episode.
Yeah, some sort of reference gets thrown in. So hopefully you had a lovely N7 day celebrated in shepherd style. Maybe eating a shepherd's pie.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I gotta hunt one of those down now.
Well, I think now it is time for some new releases.
Yes.
Because I think people are like, you know what? I'm gonna go see a movie this weekend. But what is coming out? Well, I have a selection here for you. Maybe there's something on here that you'll be interested in. Of course, number one in the theater, the big one, Thor: The Dark World. Thor fights to restore order to the cosmos, but an ancient race led by the vengeful Malekith returns to plunge the universe back into darkness. Faced with an enemy that even Odin and Asgard cannot withstand, Thor must embark on his most perilous and personal journey yet, one that will reunite him with Jane Foster, yes, and force him to sacrifice everything to save us all and her partner, Kate Dennings, or what's her name, right?
Kate Dennings.
Yeah. So there you go. That should be...
Hopefully she's in it for more than like 20 seconds.
Well, I remember article thing saying that she was in it a decent amount. I mean,
okay.
Obviously probably not a huge chunk, but
right. She's the main character. She turns into Malekith or whatever.
It's possible
at the end, I'm sure. Sorry, spoilers. Everybody.
Yeah. If that doesn't excite you, perhaps maybe the film The Book Thief. While subjected to the horrors of World War II Germany, young Lysel finds solace by stealing books and sharing them with others. Under the stairs in her home, a Jewish refugee is being sheltered by her adoptive parents. We also have How I Live Now. Daisy, an American teenager, is sent to stay with relatives in the English countryside. Initially withdrawn and alienated, she begins to warm up to her charming surroundings and strikes up a romance with the handsome Edmund. But on the fringes of their idyllic summer days are tense news reports of an escalating conflict in Europe. As the UK falls into a violent, chaotic military state, Daisy finds herself hiding and fighting to survive.
Ow.
Maybe you're interested in some form of animation type of film. There's The Wind Rises, directed by Miyazaki.
Oh, okay.
It's a look at the life.
Is this the last one? Do you know?
This might be.
Okay.
It's a look at the life of Hiro Horikoshi, the man who designed the Mitsubishi A6M-0 fighter plane used by Japan during World War II. A lot seems like there's a lot of World War II related stuff this
coming
week.
Coming back around.
Yeah. And then finally, The Motel Life, based on the popular novel by Willie Vluten. The Motel Life is a searing and profound examination of brotherhood set in the timeless Sierra Nevada frontier. So maybe, you know, if comic books and animation and, I don't know, movies about American teenagers don't excite you, maybe the Sierra Nevada frontier.
I mean, well, right? Yeah. Well, we'll follow that up with DVD Blu-ray releases. Some of these, it seems like they're more about the Blu-ray because they're old series being re-released. But we'll start out with Grown Ups 2, probably our favorite that we've seen over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I can remember talking about that.
In our dreams, at least. After that, one that is actually one of my favorites in a long time, The Conjuring. Based on the true story about Ed and Lorraine Warren and the dark presence they find in Harrisville.
Yeah, I need to see that one.
Another, like, past favorite of probably both of us, the Farscape series. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's sci-fi romping at its best. The entire series is being released on DVD Blu-ray.
Yeah, I want to say it's on some streaming stuff, so, you know.
Yeah.
Check it out there if you...
It's true. and another one straight out of geek grandness, Doctor Who Series 1 through 7 limited edition gift set, just in time for the holidays.
It's true. Yeah, just in time for the 50th anniversary, November 23rd,
that is true.
I think.
Let's see. One that I haven't heard of, so we can check it out off Redbox or whatnot. Clear History. It should be funny since it's Larry David plays a former marketing exec who has set up a new simple life after a public flame out with his successful startup. But he cannot fully escape his past. And I think that'll be it for the DVDs.
All right. Well, moving on to the world of video games. The big one for this week, Call of Duty Ghosts for 360, PS3, Wii U, and the PC, which the next-gen console is coming next week and the following week.
I don't know why. I still can't get over when people say Wii U, like, as the end of something. It always sounds like, oh, the title here, and then Wii U, yeah. But anyway, I'll leave you alone. Please finish.
That's fine.
I'll let you finish.
So there's that big one. So, but let's say maybe you're not into the shooters. We have the Gilded Fate Paradox for the PS3. Players take on the role of high school student Renya Kaguraka, who has become a god by winning a lottery in a mail. Aranya must travel through the copy world in order to effect changes in the original world and make people's wishes come true. But is there some other force at work?
There has to be.
Has to be. In the D copy world? I don't know. next, for your 3DS, you have Moshi Monsters, Ketsuma Unleashed. In this all-new, fresh and friendly monsterific adventure, you get to help Ketsuma and the rest of the Moshi mercenaries save the world from the evil schemes of Dr. Strange Glove and his destructive robot Moshlings by bashing and dashing their way through six worlds packed with intense battles, wild boss showdowns, and glittering treasures to discover.
Nice.
Say you're looking for something for your PC. Well, one of the things coming out is a game called Intake. Intake is the new retro-futuristic drug step arcade shooter from Cypher Prime. In this polychromatic love child of Dr. Mario and Ikigura, you battle a never-ending barrage of pills, pushing your skill and reflexes to the limit to avoid a lethal dosage. Blast and combo your way through an epic cascade of audiovisual mayhem, so intoxicating it comes with its own warning label. And finally, if you want to get your groove on and maybe, you know, break a sweat or something, the Zumba Fitness World Party for the 360 and the Wii U is out. It's a home workout game that helps your players burn up to 1,000 calories per hour as you immerse yourself in the movement and music of exotic global destinations.
Dang. Okay.
Before you get to that.
Yes.
I want to tell the folks that, you know, we got a radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound.
And if you are next to a radio, I assume you're listening to this. And thank you for listening, because we're heading into comics.
Oh, yeah.
Starting out with DC. Batman Superman number 5. It sounds like the Toy Master is going to be the main villain in this one. So check that out. Superman Unchained number 4. He's overwhelmed by enemies, which is saying something for Superman. So
that's true.
It's a good thing that he has some overwhelming friends too.
Yes.
So,
and that he's unchained.
Yeah.
He might be you know, harder if he were chained Superman.
Yeah, I'm curious about the title on that one. What the normal chaining is, but
I don't know. If Caleb were here, he might know, but.
Okay, but for now, since I've become too distracted with Superman chains, Marvel Amazing X-Men number 1. There's a chance that Nightcrawler might still be out there.
What?
And the X-Men intend to find him. Iron Man number 18, beginning of a new arc, Iron Metropolitan? Huh. Okay. Tony has returned from space with a grand new vision.
Ooh.
Yep. And from the non-giant superpower comic book companies, regular show skips number 1. See the world as the enigmatic Yeti skips sees it. Protectors Inc. number 1. A new series exploring a world of heroes that are blocked, that are backed with more than just muscle and grit, as seen through the eyes of an ordinary detective investigating the murder of a hero.
Hmm. Okay.
Transformers Dark Cybertron number 1. It sounds like Shockwave is the main character in it, so it ought to be interesting.
Oh, okay.
We'll see how many little tape he throws at people. Does he shoot DVDs now? Do the DVDs transform?
I
don't know how that works.
Blu-rays, like,
or is it
compact or something?
He shoots like particle streams of MP3s. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, maybe.
I will rock you. I don't know why he's turning into the Terminator.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I shoot various electronic things.
Right. Past that, we have the Star Wars number 3. I don't know. I didn't know it was the Star Wars. I always just thought Star Wars. But
Oh, this is probably that different? One. Well, I think this is that one that Caleb mentioned a few shows back where it was like the original script.
Oh,
that
okay.
They turned into comic. Remember, it was like totally different. Like some characters are aliens. I think Luke is like an old man or something.
I have to admit, I want to pick this one up, even though it's number three. So I'm going to have to run and grab the one and two. But look for it. Political intrigue, recovered droids, General Luke Skywalker. Yeah, so yeah, versus laser sword wielding stormtroopers.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then switching it up from the classic paper medium, going to the web, we have the launch of Camp We Don't Want Ya. This is the winning comic from the Strip Search series. Luckily, okay. I just finished the series right as it ended up launching, so nothing was spoiled for me.
Yeah. I guess
she won. But yeah, if you haven't seen the Strip Search series, check it out on the Penny Arcade site. It'll give you some much-needed background for, well, not needed, but really interesting background for how the comic was created by the writer Katie Rice. That's it.
All right, and to wrap up the new releases, we move to music. Here's a small selection. Again, all these new releases are just kind of a handful of things. I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff that comes out, so we just try to grab a little bit of everything. Anyway, the first we have is Eminem, the Marshall Mathers LP 2, executive produced by Dr. Dre and Rick Rubin. The 8th studio release for the rapper features guest appearances from Skylar Grey, Kendrick Lamar, Rihanna, and Nate Roos of Fun. Number 2, we have MIA, the album Matongi. The 4th full-length studio release for the British singer/rapper features a guest appearance from The Weeknd, as well as production from Danja, Doc McKinney, Hitboy, Illegalio, The Party Squad, and Switch. Then there we have Avril Lavigne with a self-titled album. The 5th full-length studio release for the Canadian pop singer features songs co-written with her husband, Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. Then we have...
Does she still have cat teeth? I haven't seen her in
I don't
forever.
Oh, yeah. She's on, I believe she's on the cover of the CD, so maybe if
we'll see... Okay, we'll hunt it down.
Then we have Luscious Jackson, Magic Hour.
Yes.
The alternative rock trio returns with its Pledge Music fan-funded release produced by Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz.
Nice.
And finally, we have Cut Copy with Free Your Mind, inspired by the Summer of Loves, 1967 in San Francisco and 1988 through 89 in the UK. The 4th full-length release for the Australian dance rock quartet was mixed in New York by Dave Fridman. So there you have it. A little sample of some new releases. Hopefully something on there excited you for this week. If not, tune in next week for next week's releases. Hopefully there's
we'll try
something.
And thrill you again.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll give it another shot.
There's something.
Give us another try to yeah. thrill you.
We try to find something. There's got to be something on that list. If you're listening to this show, something on that list must excite you.
Yeah. We don't know what to do with you if something doesn't.
We're sorry, but you can let us know if there is something on that list by first going to our Facebook page. Just search Robots Attack. Please like the page. You can comment on there. I have it up during the show, so you can participate on the show and all that jazz. We also have a Twitter page. It's Robots Attack Me. Definitely tweet us. I get those on my phone, so I can also get those during the show as well. And you can even go to our main actual website, robotsattack.me. Can check out previous shows and all that jazz. So bookmark one of those or like or follow all that jazz.
Yeah.
It would be greatly appreciated, and you know, you can be part of the show.
And give a shout out to Caleb as well, because he's probably getting the alerts at the Switchfoot concert. So you can bug him that way.
Yeah. So see, it's even more fun. You can bug him while he's dancing, while he's switching his feet.
Right, exactly. I didn't even think about it that way. Yes.
But anyway, we're going to take a quick music break. I'm going to play a local artist, The Family Crest. I'm going to play the song The Headwinds from the album, or EP, if you prefer that.
I do.
Call the Headwinds. See, there you go. And then after that, we will be back with the news. So definitely stick around for more Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're the one and only Geek Center talk show. So stick around. Be right back.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are in the news, and Jason is going to give you the first news stories. He's going to inject it into you.
This again, huh? Okay. I'm rolling with it. Anyway, our first story comes from the good people at Core 77. It's actually a new product that's coming out that I think is pretty nifty because it's combining two different environments that you don't really think about that much. Because there's a lot of people out there that love the outdoors, and there's a lot of people out there that are hopelessly addicted to all of their tech stuff. So I'm sure you do one of the little circle diagrammy thingies, and you're going to find people in between. And this thing is perfect for them because right now there's basically solar chargers or running back to your car and charging it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
But there's nothing really if there's any sort of problems like it being a cloudy day or anything like that, or if you just simply want to get completely away from your car. But if you're really desperate to charge up your iPhone in a campfire type of environment, they made a neat little thing called the Flame Stower that you basically stick one end of it into some sort of heat source, and the other end of it is literally like a little folding cup thing that you fill with water.
Oh, okay.
And basically it ends up drawing power from the difference in temperature between those two points. And so you put it over a flame, and it can actually charge as well as plugging your phone into your computer.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. That's much better than any sort of solar thing that they have out there, unless it's literally the entire roof of your car, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty impressive little thing. It'll charge any sort of USB device. It comes with a nifty little stand that's built into it. So between the cup and the stand and the probe, it actually ends up folding down into something roughly the size of your wallet, which is pretty impressive,
yeah,
considering that this is for sticking into a campfire effectively. But yeah, it's a pretty nifty device. We'll throw a link for it up on the site if you want to learn more.
Yes. All the stories we do during the news and generally throughout the show, we post them on the Facebook page usually first. So a lot of times they'll have a picture or a video. And so it's a good way to check it out. And obviously don't go to these things if you're driving right now. But
yeah,
they'll
that could be
there.
Hazardous.
Yeah, but yeah. They will be there. But yeah, also I mean, especially if you're out hiking or jogging and stuff like that, like the smaller the piece of equipment
right.
you bring with you is usually better than, you know,
yeah,
lugging
and it
around.
Looks really light too. It's not like a big tripod setup or anything. It's all flat pieces that fold together really nicely from what I can tell.
Okay. Well, moving from energy providing to entertainment providing, maybe?
Okay.
It looks like Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones are going to get TV series coming to Netflix, and they're going to lead into the Defenders miniseries. So this is the story I nabbed from IGN. It's a huge interconnected Marvel TV show launch begins in 2015. Marvel is going big on the TV show front, really big. The company has signed a deal with Netflix to produce four separate new live action. That's right, live action. This is an animated TV series for Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones. The four shows will then lead into a team-up miniseries, The Defenders. Daredevil will come first in 2015, followed by Jessica Jones, then Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. Netflix notes, quote, the epic will unfold over multiple years of original programming, and that it will, quote, take Netflix members deep into the gritty world of heroes and villains of Hell's Kitchen, New York, indicating the shows will be very interconnected. Hell's Kitchen is, of course, the traditional home to Daredevil in the comics. Each series has a minimum commitment of 13 episodes each. The Defenders is described as a dream team of self-sacrificing heroic characters. Marvel Television, in association with ABC Television Studios, will produce the series. This deal is unparalleled in scope and size and reinforces our commitment to deliver Marvel's brand, content, and characters across all platforms of storytelling. Netflix offers an incredible platform for the kind of rich storytelling that is Marvel's specialty, said Alan Fine, president of Marvel Entertainment. This serialized epic extends the narrative possibilities of on-demand television and gives fans the flexibility to immerse themselves how and when they want in what's sure to be a thrilling and engaging adventure. Quote, Marvel's movies such as Iron Man and Marvel's The Avengers are huge favorites on our service around the world. Like Disney, Marvel is a known and loved brand that travels, said Netflix Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos. With House of Cards and our other original series, we have pioneered new approaches to storytelling and to global distribution, and we're thrilled to be working with Disney and Marvel to take our brand of television to new levels with a creative project of this magnitude. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Yeah, I mean,
it's funny. None of them are characters that I'm really familiar with. Well, I mean, I know of them, but yeah. I've never really spent a bunch of time with them. But altogether, as a continuous storyline, sort of,
yeah,
that ends up being something that I'm a lot more interested in, especially since, like, Hell's Kitchen, New York, that's a kind of cool, sort of gritty setting, too.
Yeah, and since they're throwing it on Netflix, they'll be able to, you know, I mean, obviously not do, like, super adult stuff, but
right.
As opposed to, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on, you know, ABC
they
and standard television.
They don't have to pull the fangs out of it.
Yeah, so that should make it, you know, it'll be, see, I mean, I'm sure they're not going to go, like, super duper
right.
crazy, like...
Daredevil's going to die by the end of his series, I'm sure.
He'll die in The Defenders.
Right, yeah.
In the miniseries, in the first episode.
That'll be the big thing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, to also kind of go with it too. Yeah. It's like none of these characters are, like, you know, super high on my list, but just the fact that they're willing to go, okay, we're going to commit to doing all these shows, interconnect, leading into a miniseries, like, means they want to put actual effort into this. Not just, well, we're going to do one and then kind of see how it goes. Like they really want.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see, too. Well, what I'll be holding my breath for is to find out who, like, what sort of production teams are associated with it and who the cast is going to end up being. It'd be funny if they end up calling up Affleck again, like, you want another crack at it?
It's like, I'm already Batman.
We don't care. That's DC's thing. We want to outdo him with a television show.
Yeah, I do hope also it's mentioned in this article. I think I mentioned it also in a previous story, in a previous show, that there's also talk of doing a possible Agent Carter TV series.
Yeah, that's actually the one that I was kind of sad not to see included in this, but in Hell's Kitchen and a different time frame might be a little bit odd.
Yeah, not really fit. So I could see them doing, like, if they did one, you know, pairing it with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, like, watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then here's Agent Carter, you know, an episode of Agent Carter, you know, because it would fit they could definitely do an easy enough one on just, you know, regular cable TV.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the one thing I'm afraid of with the Agent Carter one, since this is my major main problem with the Captain America movie, I hope they don't put laser guns in it. I don't want any laser guns. Yeah.
Well, the
please
the little short that was on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
They didn't. Yeah, there wasn't anything like there was. I think there was like a little hint of, you know, some kind of mysterious technology, but it was, there wasn't like laser, like, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I would agree. As long as they don't go.
I don't understand why with that one they didn't go more like along the edges of steampunk instead of trying to make it all super high tech.
Yeah.
Built off of a high energy magic thing. Sort
yeah,
of.
That would have been a lot cooler, I think.
Yeah,
because yeah,
yeah. So, I loved the little submarine thing that they had in there. It looked like something straight out of Star Wars, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the next bit of news. If you're familiar with stuff that I talk about, pretty often it's something to do with 3D printing or military stuff. So this is kind of both. And so I guess take a double shot if that's how you're doing this. I'm sure everybody, I'm sure a fair number of people heard that there was a big ruckus about people creating for the first time a 3D printed gun. And so to me, it wasn't like super scary because it was just a little like single shot thing that didn't look like it would shoot terrible straight or anything. But I can understand the idea of being scary to people. So
yeah, sort of, you know, here's the first step. Right. What it could lead to, that sort of thing.
And yeah, and who knows how prevalent the 3D printers are going to end up being in the future. Well, here's the next step in things to scare the crud out of you. They made their first 3D printed metal gun, and it's a perfect copy of a 1911.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they've fired it repeatedly, works perfectly. We've talked about it a little bit, but I was kind of foggy on how it functioned, this 3D printing with metal, and it is probably the main thing that's going to keep it from being something that populates the Earth with tons of 3D printed metal guns, but the technology behind it is called DMLS, direct metal laser sintering with an S.
Okay.
And basically it ends up using a high powered laser as a metal liquidizer and welder, and so it ends up welding layers of whatever it's making.
Okay.
Like basically building it that way. So it's kind of like the plastic methods that we have now, except it's superheating metal and literally forming it on the spot, which creates a host of problems, which keeps it out of the mainstream also, because you need people who understand how the metal is going to warp and twist and deform when you apply that much heat to it. So people can...
So your average Joe...
Right. People can heave a sigh of relief right now.
Or Jane.
Yeah, your average Jill won't be making this anytime soon. But eventually, it does mean that people could have metal printing presses in their homes.
Mm.
I mean, it's a while off, but when I first heard about laser pointers, I didn't figure I was going to have one anytime soon. And they had them within 5 years. So...
Something to look, keep your eye out for and look on and see what is created beyond this 1911.
Yeah.
See what else. From 3D metal guns to Battlefield 4's Kinect functionality detailed.
So oh, okay.
Sort of virtual guns.
Yeah.
As expected, Kinect will be used for voice commands and head tracking. Back in September, Battlefield developer DICE said it was exploring the possibilities for Kinect support in the Xbox One version of Battlefield 4. That version of the game will indeed use Kinect, but the manner in which it does so should make it entirely optional. Polygon reports that Kinect will be used in Battlefield 4 and Xbox One for both leaning and voice commands. In the case of the former, the ability to peek around corners can be done using Kinect head tracking. Simply move your head and you'll lean around a corner and be able to fire without completely exposing yourself. Something which can be done in other versions of the game with a controller or keyboard, but this could offer a more natural solution.
Plus, people do it naturally, whether they mean to or not. Yeah, you kind of find yourself
dodging certain things.
I think that'll end up being really slick.
Yeah. Now, under the voice commands, they're also straightforward. The requests and comments that can be made with the Camo Rose, such as saying thanks or requesting ammo, health, or a ride, can be made using a corresponding voice command. Again, the ability itself is available in all other versions of the game, just with the use of physical controls. These features don't come as much of a surprise. When DICE discussed the Kinect options, it was contemplating and suggested voice commands and head tracking could be used for things that don't require precision input. So, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, and the fact that, you know, it's optional, so it's not like, you know, as people complain, gotta wave my hands around and all that stuff. It's like, no, you don't have to. It's
I have to dance an Irish jig to reload my weapon. No, you don't have to, but it's more fun that way.
Yeah, it makes it more fun. And speaking of fun, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Booyah, station ID.
That's pretty good, I'll admit.
And I didn't mention injecting.
Until now.
Don't.
Anyway. One little tag that I thought was interesting off of that last story. It wasn't widely known until it actually got released on the systems that exist right now. But that game, they finally made reloading, like, actually realistic.
Oh,
which is good and bad, because if you reload your weapon and toss the mag on the ground, you're losing all of the bullets that were left in that mag.
I heard something about that, yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of forces you to not, like, reload, you know, every time you fire maybe 10 bullets or something.
Yeah, I'm hearing horror stories about people, like, having to use nothing but LMGs because they are not used to reloading at all. But anyway, from reloading weapons to reloading body parts, sort of. Scientists have been grappling with the human genome for a long time, and they've been learning tons of really interesting secrets, but they've all been kind of, I don't know, nothing really huge until now.
Oh, okay.
They might have the first clue on how to create Wolverine.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a big deal. George Daly of Harvard Medical School apparently stumbled upon, while doing a completely different experiment, the fact that some of his lab mice were regrowing parts of their ears, which unfortunately was because they were experimenting on them and had to snip parts of their ears off. But anyway, they were trying to figure out why, and they found out it's because of some of the genetic manipulation that they've done on these mice, which ended up making them kind of follow the trail, and they basically found a gene that, when you're young, is really active and causes you to grow, and when you get older, it shuts down. If they can reactivate it or keep it activated, it means that if you lose soft tissue, you end up regrowing it.
Huh.
Now, it won't do limbs, bones, and apparently a heart. How they found out it wouldn't do a heart, I'm kind of afraid of.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, being able to grow, like, I mean, you see horror stories about burn victims and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Being able to regrow your face in an event like that is major stuff
Right
there. the thing is, too, well, they call this gene right now the LIN28A gene.
Sexy. If you want,
yeah, I know, right? So if you want to look it up, that's probably the easiest way, since it's a fairly unique name. But yeah, apparently it opens up new research for the neighboring genes, because they think those might be the secret for how to regrow other things.
Oh, okay.
So
more like limbs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, possibly. That's the theory right now.
See.
But who knows? Maybe this is the best that we can do. It's still pretty cool. It'll be really nice to see if some people who have ended up suffering through horrible things can actually regrow stuff.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Because I mean, even now it's awesome to hear the advances in the robotic leg and arms and that sort of thing. But
heck, I didn't even think about that. Between the robotics advances and the soft tissue regrowth, you might end up having a more like normal type of cyborg
that's true.
Coming out of it in the future. Of course, this is wild speculation by me, but still. I mean, I'm practically a scientist from Harvard.
Yeah, we do a bunch of news stories.
Wolverine. So,
yeah, we've seen said movies of Wolverine.
Right, so, yeah. Take it from me.
Well, from biology to BioWare?
Okay, I'll accept that. 10 points.
BioWare teases next Mass Effect with new images. Since it is N7 Day,
right?
I figured why not do a story about Mass Effect. The first images of the next game in the Mass Effect series have been published on Twitter today as BioWare celebrates N7 Day. BioWare staffers ranging from series producer Michael Gamble to BioWare Montreal studio director Yannick Roy to executive producer Casey Hudson have been tweeting pictures today of Mass Effect's things both new and old. These images are accompanied by a message that has been split between tweets, but it's the images themselves that are the most interesting.
Ah.
Among those posted so far, one showing what looks like a new character and vehicle being designed, one showing a new type of enemy, and another that shows the game being played possibly on a PC with a 360 controller. The latter was tweeted along with the text, quote, "The next chapter of Mass Effect is upon us." While the one with the enemy had text, "New enemies to encounter." That is part of a longer message split across multiple Twitter accounts. A more recent tweet includes yet another image and mentions new worlds to explore. So if you want to check out the pictures and whatnot, the story has links to them. And like I've mentioned earlier, all of our story links are on our Facebook page. So when you have the opportunity, you can go and check them out. And
peruse them.
Yes. Man, that's...
I don't get to use that word very often, so...
That's true.
Thank you, listeners.
I can't wait to see that game on the next consoles. Oh, man. I mean, it's already, like, a pretty amazing-looking game.
Uh-huh.
You know, what they've been able to take with, you know, the current-gen systems. And
right.
Not even a gig of RAM. Like, what they're able to do, imagine now with 8. And, you know, just...
I can't think about it right now. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
it's good.
in previous episodes, which you can research through the Facebook page and whatnot, I had mentioned a nifty little bit of tech that is a super, super thin layer of material that's fairly strong and resilient that ends up being a really good sensor for taking different... things like bodily temperature and pressure being exerted on it and stuff like that. Basically a whole host of sensory things. So it can be used either as an extra little bit of skin on a human for monitoring stuff or on a robot or whatnot.
Oh, okay.
Well, apparently this inspired one of the giant companies of the world, Motorola, and they promptly patented using this tech neck tattoos as microphones.
Huh.
So the patent is apparently worded in such a way that it doesn't really reveal whether this is a tattoo that's actually embedded in your skin or if it's more like a fake tattoo where you kind of stick it on.
Okay.
But still, like, having the ability to not worry about whether you have a good microphone or where your phone is positioned or anything like that.
Yeah.
And for me, the big deal is, too, just the proximity to the throat. Because most of the stuff that you end up, most of the problems that you end up having with phone conversations and even when you're trying to play video games online or whatnot, any sort of background noise is coming through and messing things up. And one of the inventions that I fell in love with is a carryover from military stuff, which is the throat microphone. This is effectively that, except it stays on you. So you can have a really good sensor that isn't producing all of the background noise. It's just producing the noise from your actual throat. So there's a lot of nifty ideas going on here if you think about it a little bit. It's a little bit scary as far as if somebody were able to hack into it, but we'll not think about that because we'll everything's scary when you think about if people could hack into it.
Yeah,
so
let's think about the positive. There's enough. There's enough negative already. Let's think about the positives.
But yeah, I'm if it's cheap, I'll probably get one. I'll be honest. I don't care if it's tattooed into me.
You can get a nice unicorn with a like rainbows shooting around.
I don't know if that'll be one of the designs or not, but it might discourage me from getting it.
Okay. Well, my next story isn't, unfortunately, a positive story.
Oh.
If you happen to still be a Blockbuster customer, Blockbuster is closing all corporate retail stores in the U.S. by January. I really had no idea there were still any left, to be honest, because most of the ones in our area are pretty much gone.
Yeah.
Like, you can see where they were. Like,
yeah, the Silicon Valley ones are toast at this point. They've all turned into banks at this point.
but yeah, if you... looks like Blockbuster parent company Dish Network will close all remaining corporate-owned Blockbuster retail locations in the U.S. by early January 2014. The company will also end Blockbuster's DVD-by-mail service by mid-December.
Oh, wow.
And shutter its distribution centers. The closure of approximately 300 stores will not have an effect on franchise or licensed retail stores in the U.S. or abroad. Dish will retain Blockbuster licensing rights and assets like the company's video library. It will also continue to operate the Blockbuster at-home service, which offers premium TV channels and streaming movies, as well as the Blockbuster on-demand streaming service. Quote, this is not an easy decision, yet consumer demand is clearly moving to digital distribution of video entertainment, said Joseph P. Clayton, Dish President and Chief Executive Officer.
Yeah.
Despite our closing of the physical distribution elements of the business, we continue to see value in the Blockbuster brand, and we expect to leverage that brand as we continue to expand our digital offering. Yeah, it is weird that it's going to get to that point where, like, you know, the memory of, hey, you know, it's a Friday night, let's go rent a movie at the store is, like, going to be pretty much gone. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it doesn't have the same thrill, like, hey, it's Friday, let's head to the Redbox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, this generation of the youngins. You know,
right,
like, what?
Crack out the cane.
You went, yeah. You went and, like, sometimes the movie you wanted wasn't there. Like,
yeah.
You waited and you looked through things, like, at the store and not... Yeah, it's...
Which used to be the good thing about Blockbuster was they had tons and tons of copies of everything, and still things would be
gone, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sure that's bad news for some people. Probably most people in this particular valley don't really care that much anymore, except for the the memories being lost. But the future is now, as far as this goes, University of Tokyo team has created a quadcopter, which isn't really big news, But how they formatted it is kind of the neat thing. They ended up building it as basically a foam-surrounded bicycle wheel. Now, I know that still probably doesn't sound like much. Okay, it's got some foam to keep it from, like, destroying itself when it bumps into things. The genius is that they're using the wheel as a wheel. So basically the thing, they can have it park itself in wheel position and drive itself just by the rotors going.
Okay.
So it ends up genius as far as this goes, because when it's doing that, it uses a fraction of the power that it would normally.
Okay.
Which any sort of helicopter type device chews through power like crazy, because wind doesn't grow on trees.
The wind tree!
Right. But so it can do that and drive like that and cross a pretty good distance, get to its destination, and then flip itself around and hover around and drive itself places. The extra little kind of neat thing about that is then it's super skinny, so it can go through really tiny openings without a problem, because it's only like, it looks like 3 or 4 inches wide.
Total.
So yeah, it can fit like in between buildings that way, all sorts of interesting things. So yeah, they've got some pretty interesting ideas coming out of a lot of these really basic quadcopter designs. And I hope more of this really inventive stuff comes up, because this team is basically superheroes of creativity to me.
Yeah. I think we're going to we saw like the bow and arrow used a lot in things, or crossbows, that sort of thing. I think like you're going to start to see the little quadcopter in a lot of things, I think.
Right.
Like I'm starting to see it more pop up in more and more stuff. I mean, true, a lot of those things that I see them in are in video games, but you know, hey, from there it'll move you. I wouldn't be surprised if some movies coming out pretty soon, somebody's going to have, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, I think they have like these little tiny, like really little tiny mini ones or something. You know,
The little bug ones, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. But yeah, I think you're gonna see more
of that.
It's
the next big thing.
I think so, and you heard it first.
It's the new blockbuster.
It's true. And you heard it first on Robots Attack, yeah. So before I do my last story, I'm going to tell everyone about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention presents its 15th annual International Survivors of Suicide Day. Experience the powerful sense of connection and community that is forged between survivors of suicide loss. You are not alone. Celebrate the life of a lost loved one, promote healing, and connect with others with similar experiences. If you have lost someone to suicide, please join us for this free event on Saturday, November 23rd, from 8 a.m. to noon. The event will be held at Alone College, Building 7, first floor on 43600 Mission Boulevard in Fremont. For more information or to register, visit StepUpAlone, that's OHLONE.org/events. All right. I wouldn't be a Star Wars nerd if I didn't mention a Star Wars story for my last story. And this one is a pretty big one. Star Wars Episode 7 gets a release date. That's right. And finally an official release date. Lucasfilm and Disney revealed today that J.J. Abrams' Star Wars sequel, the first installment in new trilogy, will in fact be released in 2015. December 18th, 2015, to be exact. This comes after much fretting in the press about whether or not the film would be pushed to 2016 on the heels of the news about Episode 7's script being overhauled. Pre-production is said to be in full swing. Shooting is expected to start spring in 2014 at Pinewood Studios. Quote, "We're very excited to share the official 2015 release date for Star Wars Episode 7, where it will not only anchor the popular holiday film-going season, but also ensure our extraordinary filmmaking team has the time needed to deliver a sensational picture, said Alan Horn, chairman of the Walt Disney Studios. So, yeah, that's going to be, that's it. Where I think like this year, you know, it's the second Hobbit movie,
right?
You know, for December. So, and then I think, I don't know if next year, if the third Hobbit one is going to be in the summer, if they're going to do it December again. If they do it December again, then after the Hobbit, we got Star Wars. So,
okay.
Nerds and geeks, we're going to be taken yeah. care of for a while, I think. Man, 2015. So that's like, and then the Avengers, right? Avengers 2, isn't that 15?
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
Boy.
That's going to be a heck of a geek year.
Yeah. So that's that. That's my last story. Do you have anything else you want to?
Yeah, actually.
Go out on.
The metal printing technique that I had mentioned before, it has kind of an interesting new counterpart that I believe it's General Motors is looking into. Or, I'm sorry, General Electric. They call it 3D painting, and the idea is for using it for repairing things that have had damage or wear and tear at this point. But instead of using lasers to superheat anything or whatnot, it just uses the metal by itself. It makes it super, super tiny, and then sprays it at such incredible speed that it welds itself to the other metal.
Oh, okay.
So the idea becomes you can add layers to something really quickly and easily this way and restore parts that need either resurfacing or outright rebuilding just with this very specialized equipment.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty neat.
Sounds like some possibilities could be had there.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that ends up being a new, like, full-on printing technique at some point. But it sounds like it's more for a broad area at this point, because while shooting things at such high speed is difficult enough, getting it focused to be able to print something that way is even more difficult.
Let's take some baby steps.
Right. It's the next big thing, though. You wait.
It's true. Another thing you heard here first on Robots Attack.
It's not going to happen next week or anything.
It's true.
Mind
but,
you.
But, you know, we have
next big thing.
The archives of the show, so when people go back and listen.
Right.
Like, that episode, where they talked about that one, and they said it, and they were right. Meanwhile, we're like 80 years old. And
right.
So.
Oh, the rightness we were.
Web's already on version 3 or something. All right, that's going to wrap up the news portion of the show. We're going to take a music break. I'm going to play the track Falling from the band Haim from the album Days Are Gone. You are listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Stick around. We're going to bring you more. We're going to inject more geek into you after the music.
Yeah.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Radio stream. Want to listen to KCU even when you are not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at kcu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. All right, you're back with Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now in Geek Talk. I'm going to talk about Extra Life. I participated in that if you're not familiar with it. It happened last Saturday. Usually it's 24 hours, but since the time change, it fell back. It was 25 hours this time.
bonus round.
Yeah. Where gamers of all kinds, it doesn't have to be video games. It could be board games, just playing anything. And you're basically playing for that entire amount of time, just raising money for sick kids, you know, raising money for cancer and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
To help children. Obviously, you're not raising money like to help cancer, but anyway.
Yeah, that would be awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's got enough help.
Yeah. But yeah, so I participated in that. I myself raised $200. My team raised a little over $1,700. And then the hospital that I picked was the Oakland Children's Hospital because that was the local one for my area.
Okay.
So, everybody selected their local sort of children's hospital. They had a list of them on the site, mm-hmm. on extra-life.org. Where you can, you know, where you selected. So we did that, and I think the event itself raised like almost $4 million.
Nice.
So it was definitely a lot of fun. It was cool. I mean, apparently the site itself was attacked like four times by it's like DDoS or something. Huh. It's like it's not hacking, but it's something where like a bunch of traffic gets sent to the site, so it crashes it.
Oh, okay.
So whoever was, you know, doing that is like, hopefully something really bad happens to them in life, because that's really screwed up to like attack the website so people can't go to it and donate. So
that seems really odd to me.
Yeah. So
maybe they were confused. Maybe they thought it was like trying to get proceeds for a cancer. Or
yeah, the more
then,
more
hey,
people go,
you're more power to you, but you're misguided.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. I had some technical difficulties at the beginning getting because normally I'm a console gamer, but right. I thought this time, like, you know what, it'd be more fun if I actually could stream this, you know, on Twitch and stuff like that. So I picked up a relatively inexpensive like HD webcam. Went through some of the, you know, software, like even one of the companies, I think it's XSplit, that will do the streaming for you onto Twitch, like gave people who raised X number of money like a free month of their premium service or something.
Oh, that's
so cool. I tried to use that. Unfortunately, that didn't work, so I had to use another one. But and I had to try a few different ones because for some reason it was like one would let me do one thing and then but wouldn't let me do another thing, and you know,
makes
vice
me wonder
versa
if maybe
stuff,
they were so overloaded from so many people doing it or whatnot.
Maybe I ended up basically using, I think it's OBS, like open broadcast something or other, and so that okay. one, once I kind of figured it out, watched some tutorials on
seemed to work
YouTube.
Really good.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it was that one seemed to work. I got that rolling, so I streamed like Torchlight 2, the Stanley Parable, Gone Home, which was probably my favorite part of the night, was because I heard so many great things about the game and it is really awesome.
Okay.
So you know, I threw it up in the group that I was a part of, you know, has a Facebook page, and so I posted in there and on my Twitter and stuff, like, hey, if you ever want to experience Gone Home, I've never experienced it before, come, you know, watch it with me, experience it for the first time, you know, yourself. So I did that, and that was a lot of fun because I actually had like some of the people that I knew from the group like watching also, and
nice.
You know, and just and Caleb and you know, Elaine and stuff were watching, everybody's, you know, mm-hmm. so that was cool. And then, you know, it got later into the evening of like forcing myself, like, okay, focus, stay, okay, what do I want to play after that? Or got an energy drink, I got coconut water, I got candy and food. It was just like making sure everything.
Yeah, I think that's about the time that I was finally able to catch things here and there for the most part.
Yeah, it was. Now you ended up, did you use the mobile app for Twitch?
Yeah, I ended up trying the Xbox app, and unfortunately, it only does like a top 300,
okay.
which is really lame. I don't know why. It doesn't even have a search function.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess it sort of separates the creme from the chaff.
True.
But at the same time, if you're looking for specific people that aren't like super popular, it kind of kills it.
Yeah. It sounds like with the next gen consoles, it'll be a little more, because you'll be able to actually stream to Twitch and that sort of thing. So it seems like this is sort of just a little, here's a little taste app, you know, type of thing. But anyway, yeah. So the mobile app worked.
Yeah, it was actually really cool because it made it perfect for kind of trying to keep you on in the background and hear like random funny stuff along with the other stuff that I was trying to do. So that worked out really cool. I just had my phone plugged in, had the mini screen next to my monitor.
Yeah, that was the thing, because I'd never done anything like that before. So like we had a general meeting at the station this past Tuesday. So I spoke with Caleb a little bit about it, you know, like asking him like, oh, you know, how was it? How did it look? Like that sort of thing. Cause on my end, it's like the OBS has a little window that's popped up, and so you can adjust your webcam and the game and everything like that. So, you know, I'm doing it there, and then I have the window open up for Twitch so I can see the chat and then see the dashboard, and then, you know, I would have the game windowed, so this way I wouldn't have to exit out of the game to look at the chat, because I wanted to have the chat there so if someone said, you know, typed something to me, I could respond to it and not have to, and I could keep an eye on it. So having never done anything like that before, like just playing the game and sort of being more vocal than I would probably normally be playing the game, just because it's like, well, if people are watching this, like I want it to not just be like, here's a little box of the guy playing the game, and then, you know,
looking
here's the
bored
game
or something. Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun.
So I tried to spice it up where I could.
Yeah,
and also help myself sort of stay awake and stay focused. Like,
yeah,
because you know, as it got later into the evening and early of the next day, it was like, oh, my brain.
It really made me wonder, like, if I ever tried to do something like that, if it might end up causing problems, just because I think I'd get very colorful very quickly. So I don't know if that's frowned upon or encouraged.
Yeah. I had one when I did, when I was, after I finished Gone Home, and don't worry, I'm not going to spoil any of the games or anything like that. I was like, whoa, you know, like, what do I follow up with this? Because it's, you know, if you're not familiar with the game, it is more of like a story kind of, you know, not really click adventure kind of thing. It's not really an adventure, but it is definitely more story to it. And you're just exploring and clicking on things and reading things and listening to things, like awesome voiceover. But so after that was done, it was like, you know, like, what do I want to play next? And so, you know, I was like trying to figure out, and then I ended up trying the Stanley Parable, which is a sort of wacky, like, narrators telling you stuff, and like you'll be walking through and the narrator will be like, and so and so came across two doors, and so and so went through the left door, but you hadn't done anything yet, so you don't have to follow the person's narration. Like, you could go to the left or you can go to the right, and if you go to the right, and it's like, he wanted to go left but decided to go right so he could maybe go and see the awesome employee lounge. Like, there's you can just alternate all this weird stuff. So it was this really sort of trippy, wacky game that, again, wasn't like all you did was move, like click on stuff and jump. So it was probably a good one to play after Gone Home. And then
It's funny, everybody's talking about it, but I've never had anybody actually explain anything about it in all of the conversations that I've heard.
It's weird. It's like you play this guy who, like, he's in his office and there's suddenly, like, there's no one in his office anymore.
Okay.
And so he's wandering around, like, trying to figure it out. Like, you don't talk. It's all just the narrator, and like you sort of futz with the narrator, or the narrator, like, it's really weird. It's like a really weird, trippy game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a production team that's ended up really famous from other stuff or whatnot, but I thought it was kind of interesting, and what sparked my attention on it was one of the Penny Arcade video blog things called Extra Credits. They were they always have a random little throwaway thing at the end of the credits for extra credits, oddly enough. But it was basically an acknowledgement, like, and I'd already heard people mention it a few times, like it was really good and whatnot. And so I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll hear something on this, because they were actually talking about games that you may not have tried yet and that you should definitely give a chance, because they may not be great or anything, but they're at least unique.
Yeah.
And, all it said at the end of it was, yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I think I can safely say you need to play the Stanley Parable.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience. I wouldn't say it's for everyone, but yeah, it's
okay.
It's one of those, I think if you're into, sort of like, I don't know if British humor is the right word.
Okay.
But it's definitely a mind trip.
Okay.
It's not, don't go in expecting of like
cannons
Portal
and
or anything like that. Yeah, or okay. You know, fighting stuff or anything. It's definitely more of an experience, and it'll sort of mess with your mind. And
okay.
So as it got to like, I think 4 a.m. or something like that, I was like, okay.
Perfect timing.
I need to stop this. Yeah, because you'll go through, and what changes it up is you'll end up like repeating things, but the narration will be different. So
okay.
even when you go back and do certain stuff, like the way he'll say things sort of acknowledges that you've done this before type
okay.
of thing. And so yeah, I'll just kind of leave it at that. I don't want to, you know, spoil too much, but anyway, so it was getting like, you know, 3 or 4 a.m. and the trip on my mind was, you know, I was like, okay, I need to take a break from this. I need to say, and so I threw on FTL.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started playing that for a little bit. And then someone that jumped into the chat was like, oh, well, I came to see the Stanley Parable, but I got FTL. Well, that's not too bad. And
uh-huh.
So this guy was asking me like, oh, do this, do that. Like, you know, try these different things. And towards the end, after I kind of made it to the very last part of the like quadrant of space that you go to, and it was clear, like, didn't have enough missiles, and I was pretty much like, okay, I'm not going to survive
this.
Yeah,
I saw where you gave up on that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is dead. And the guy, like, in the chat, you know, was like, okay, play this group next. And I was like, I don't know if I've... Because I guess you do a certain amount of stuff and you unlock different ships, and
oh,
there's
okay.
different, like,
right.
alien races and stuff that you can play. And so this one... I knew I'd unlocked in the, like, next ship, but I didn't know if it was this one that this guy was talking about.
Uh-huh.
I forget it now, if it was like Turon or something like that. But he's like, yeah, play that one. It's a lot of fun. So I'm like, I don't know if I can go through this again, man. I'm sorry. Like, you know, like I just went through a whole, you know, thing of it. I mean, it's, I really like the game. It's really fun, but you know,
right.
I was like, I need to break it up unless you want to donate to my page, you know, type of thing. Then I'll be willing, you know, to do it. And you know, he's like, oh, but it's a lot of fun, that one. And I was like, well, I don't think I unlocked it. And he's like, well, could you check for me? It's like, okay, I'll check. And then I checked, and I was like, oh yeah, I did unlock that one, thinking in my head, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I did look kind of neat. It looks like, I want to say it's some kind of like squarish kind of ship.
Okay.
With like a hole in the center or something like that. So it was definitely a weird, weird design, not your sort of standard spaceship, but.
Yeah, I was amused by seeing, like, it looked like a rock guy trying to stamp out flames or something
that. Yeah, I got one of the rock races or something, and since he can't catch on fire, he's, like, perfect to send in.
Nice.
If stuff catches on fire, so it's like, go, rock guy, put out that fire!
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another really fun game to throw in and mess around with, because that, too, is different each time you play it. And so I played it on easy because it was like, I think the second or third time I'd played it, and it's like, it's 3 a.m. and I don't really want to have to think too much right now. So.
Yeah, I'm still kind of stunned that more games like that haven't found their way onto portable, like good
yeah.
phones and whatnot. I don't get it. Like I was looking forward to, I was really hoping that Skulls of the Shogun would end up portable, because I'd love to have that on my phone.
thought it was on something. Is it just?
It might be just iTunes or whatnot. But
I thought. Oh, I wonder if it's. So I want to say that's a Microsoft thing. Maybe just the Surface tablets. Maybe just tablets.
Maybe. Well, I ended up looking on the Play Store and it wasn't there at all.
Okay. But. Yeah, maybe it's just a Windows like phone or Windows.
Yeah.
Tablet.
That's a possibility. Game. And that's unfortunate. So I just put a lot of money into one that I like a lot that is not a Windows one. But.
Yeah. But yeah, Extra Life was a lot of fun. If I can, I definitely want to do it again next year. And I've definitely like, now I'm sort of like, this streaming was actually a lot of fun. I think I might pay attention to like Steam sales from now on and see if I can grab. Because Torchlight was super cheap. They put it on sale that weekend. So like, that would be a good game to break up. Streaming and stuff like that. So
yeah, it looked pretty cool too.
Yeah,
I liked the giant cannon you were like wielding for a while there.
Yeah, yeah, I love my little cat companion. You can pick like different animal companions. So I was like,
nice.
It's like, oh, there's a wolf. There's this. There's that. It's like, oh, but there's a cat. I gotta go with the cat.
Yeah, that's a no brainer for a cat person.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you feel so inclined and want to check out my Twitch channel, because I have some of the videos of my streaming stored on there. It's Django Fett 25 on Twitch. I'm gonna try to edit them out and just have the game portion stuff, so it's not just like the parts where nothing's happening,
right?
You know, while it was up and stuff like that. But speaking of cats and other animals and everything, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. I'm going to play a track from Kings of Leon called Super Soaker from their album Mechanical Bull. And then after that, we will be back with Jason's Fixation, where he's going to talk all about Call of Duty Ghosts. And I'm looking forward to hearing about this. So stick
around.
As
am I.
Yeah. So stick around. We'll have more Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Time for... Jason's Fixation.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are in Jason's Fixation.
It's the first time I've had like the full intro and everything. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about Call of Duty Ghosts. It ended up releasing for the previous gen consoles this last week, and I got a lot of good playtime out of it. It's kind of interesting. The biggest thing for me whenever it switches from one of the production companies for the Call of Duty series to the next one is always finding the things that I really miss from the previous ones and wish they would have kept in versus the stuff that they made really good improvements on. Kind of the no-brainer, really awesome thing is one of the kill streaks, which they brought back, no more point streaks. Is you get an attack dog of your own. It really works way better than I would have ever really imagined. You have to be careful with it. It's not, you can't just expect it to run around mowing down all of your enemies or anything like that. Mm. But it is really good if you're trying to take a defensive position or if you end up swamped by guys. It ends up awesome. I ended up watching this one guy who had the dog in play at the time, and he got killed. The dog sticks around and ends up taking on whoever took out its master.
Okay.
it killed three guys that were surrounding the guy. And it was just funny, like, watching all of them freak out. Like, wait, what do we do? What do we do? Because this dog, too, has body armor, which none of the previous dogs from the dog attacks ever had. And the extra cool thing about it is, because it has body armor, I mean, this is going to sound wrong to say this is extra cool, but it's a fairly small thing compared to a human. So if it gets hit by something big and it has body armor, it's going to fly. It ends up creating kind of a false kill with some of the larger weapons, because they'll hit the thing and it'll get knocked down and they'll think, okay, I'm safe. I took it out, like, no problem.
Okay.
And they end up walking past, and meanwhile the dog's, like, shaking it off and then attacks them.
Nice.
Yeah, they pulled that off really cool.
So when you respawn,
it finds you again.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it stays. So is it more just like a time limit kind of thing, or until
I don't really know. Okay. Every time that I managed to get it, it would end up, unfortunately, finding a worse fate than that. But yeah, it mostly I wasn't careful and didn't really use it the way that I should have. There was one time that I found a really high really easily defended position that it was doing great. I think it took out like three guys that way.
Oh, okay.
And it's perfect too, because if you have those golden positions, you're taking out people like crazy from being able to see the larger part of the battlefield.
So how do you like the sort of overall system of it?
That's where it gets into like the scary territory for me, because They did a really good job with the perk system. I think that's kind of the biggest golden thing about the game so far, is that having a point buy system for the perk system allows for really interesting combinations of stuff, because now you can have, heck, who knows, I think like 10 perks or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Depending on how you buy things. Now, the way they do that, of course, is they're chunking up a lot of the perks into separate things. And so a lot of the sort of the upgraded perks that you had in previous games within the modern series, they'll chunk them into two separate things.
Oh, okay.
But the cool thing is, not only do you have a point buy system where you kind of can combine all of these things in weird ways and just take exactly what you want, it ends up having kind of a hybrid of the old system where you'd unlock things. Okay. It ends up having something similar to the first Black Ops game, where you're buying things for cash. The last Black Ops game, where you have the points to cash in, because from the very first minute you get into the game, you're earning these points, and you can keep them for either upgrading your weapons, or you can use them to jump ahead of the timed unlocks and unlock something early. Now, the ones that everybody really likes, or really like having an extra attachment on your gun and whatnot, they're going to take a lot of points. But still, a lot of the really cheap ones are really cool stuff to me. There was one of the kind of bonuses for one of the perks with, I believe, three, that it was, if you hit something with an explosion, it would show kind of a pointer for where things were. And it was really difficult to unlock, and I thought it was really cool, but it just seemed like a lot of work for that thing. But it was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Now it's what I'd call a penny perk. It's a single point perk that you get at the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
And so you can throw it into practically any kit that you want, but it ends up really handy for being able to scout out stuff, and it's more powerful. They ended up making it so almost all of the scouting stuff works about the same way. It ends up illuminating an enemy with like an orange kind of fire around them.
Oh, okay.
And you can see them through walls that way. So whether it's something that's like a satellite tracking people from like all around the battlefield or something like that, or any sort of drone that's checking out people and so on, or one of the gun additions that was kind of like the millimeter scope from the previous one.
Okay.
It'll all end up illuminating things the same way with that sort of halo of orange around them. So it's kind of neat to have that as a consistent visual through the entire thing.
Okay.
And it kind of brings home that everybody has these like sort of Google Glass HUDs, that it's kind of universal type of stuff too.
Okay.
But yeah, unfortunately I don't have all of the really high level perks, but that's not such a bad thing because that's a lot of the stuff that you're kind of used to anyway.
Yeah.
But one of the other sort of penny perks that's a nice one for getting a taste of all of the bigger ones is that it randomly generates a perk from the entire list.
Okay.
And so you can't really count on it, but you get a taste of some of the really powerful ones, unless it's something that needs to be coordinated with something else. You can't get the weapons unlock one because you'd have to pick it ahead of time and stuff like that. But
so we got a couple minutes left to wrap it up. I'm curious about how the customization stuff is, and then just kind of your overall feelings on the game.
Well, like I said, the perks thing is kind of the really gold thing about the customization. The kind of nasty thing to me is you don't have anywhere near the weapon customization.
I mean more the physical, the new, now you can customize how your character looks, that sort of thing.
That's on a more strict unlock system. You can't do it through tokens or anything like that.
Okay.
So it's attached to getting certain types of kill streaks and so on.
Ooh,
really difficult stuff for the most part, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
But it is interesting, from the very get-go, the first character that it starts you up with is a woman character, just to make sure that you know that you can do it.
Yeah.
But you can, of course, customize that however you want. I did generic white boy with a baseball cap.
Okay.
But yeah, the suits that you can get for it, for the most part, look pretty classic, like either a SWAT type of uniform or random military type of setups. But it does have like light duty military personnel uniforms that are kind of in a sort of futuristic garb.
Okay.
And so it's really simple, like halfway between casual Friday and like Star Trek Next Generation as a military uniform.
Okay.
Which is kind of an interesting look. It's really minimal, really straight lines and everything. But it's super funny seeing guys run around with kind of this weird, like, I don't know how to explain it better than, like, I don't know, maybe something that you'd go to bed in or something like that.
Okay.
Except as a military uniform. And you pair that with like a baseball cap and seeing those guys running around in effectively, like pajama looking things.
Okay.
And then carrying like big guns and whatnot. Because all of the other kits have the big backpacks and like grenades hanging all over the place. But these guys look like they rolled out of bed and started fighting.
Okay. So then, real quickly, before we get out of here, and the pre-funk show comes up next, stick around for some good music. Just final thoughts on the game. What do you think? Are you happy with it? Do you like?
Honestly,
where it's going,
I'm probably gonna be switching back and forth between Black Ops 2 and this game. It's all the same problems that they've had switching back and forth between the games in the past, because the personality isn't there. It's really stripped down, like serious warfare type of stuff.
Okay.
Which is really cool because it does that well. But when you're in the mood for more of the interesting stuff and heavy customization, Black Ops 2 is still your game, in my view.
All right. Cool. Well, That's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be back next week from 7 to 9. I think we'll have you go into a little more detail on some of the modes and stuff like that next week since
we didn't get
a chance to hit it. But coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Stick around. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Take it easy. If you go and see Thor, let us know what you think by hitting up our Facebook page, Robots Attack. All right, we're out of here.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.